Hello everyone, thank you for coming to my presentation this morning. My name is Terry Hochter and I am a first year master's student at Purdue University, and I would like to present what I've done so far on my master's research project. A quick background for those of you who may not know, I am working with entomopathogenic nematodes. They are microscopic roundworms that are capable of parasitizing insect pests. Since my area of interest is turf grass, this is particularly important to me because these nematodes can kill white grubs in the soil. Nematodes penetrate their insect host by entering through the cuticle or the natural openings, that is the mouth, anus, or spiracles. They vector a bacterium that disintegrates the internal organs of the grub, and they feed and reproduce over several generations before leaving the cadaver in search of new hosts. This means that they can be used as an effective form of biological control, and in some cases have been found to be as effective as the standard chemical controls. However, the problem with entomopathogenic nematodes is that they are greatly influenced by their environment. They are unable to persist in the soil for long periods of time, which means that if you are using nematodes as a form of control, they have to be applied repeatedly over time. Now, superintendents and lawn managers are concerned with keeping a well-maintained, healthy turf grass system, as is shown in this picture here. There are two basic turf inputs that I would like to examine and see if they have an effect on the nematode strain persistence over time. Superintendents are concerned with adding moisture and nitrogen over time, moisture in the form of regular irrigation and through the use of surfactants or wetting agents. And as we are all probably aware, nitrogen is applied repeatedly through the use of fertilizers. I wanted to see if either of these turf inputs would have an impact on nematode strain persistence. The wetting agents are surfactants that are capable of managing soil moisture distribution and retention in the soil. Because nematode mortality is largely due in part to desiccation, especially in localized dry spots in the soil, I believe that applying these wetting agents over time will minimize these local dry spots in the soil, therefore increasing both nematode strain persistence and their ability to find hosts in the soil. Nitrogen that is also applied over time greatly impacts turf systems, as you can see in this small diagram here. When nitrogen is added to a turf grass system, over time it becomes green, healthier, and more dense. And over time, this can increase the insect herbivore population in that particular system. Therefore, since these insect herbivores are a prime target of these entomopathogenic nematodes, I believe that in increasing this food supply, the nitrogen could influence nematode efficacy and persistence over time. Therefore, the objectives of my study: do wetting agents influence nematode efficacy and persistence? And do the fertilizer applications have an impact on nematode efficacy and persistence? My experimental design was simple. It's a 2x2 factorial with 5 replicates of each treatment. The first 4 treatments, as you see here, are nitrogen alone, wetting agent alone, and a combination of the two versus a control. I did the first 4 treatments this past season as a part of a short-term study, just examining their impact on the entomopathogenic nematodes. However, as part of a longer-term study next summer, I plan to apply all 8 treatments, keeping half of the plots, keeping the nematodes from half the plots, to see if these treatments have an effect on the resident grub population alone. The nitrogen was applied 4 times a year at a rate of 1 pound nitrogen per 1,000 square feet per application, and the particular wetting agent I used was applied 3 times during the summer at a rate of 6 fluid ounces per 1,000 square feet, and that is the undiluted application rate. My field trials, I took 8-inch diameter PVC pipes and hammered them into the ground. I collected a predetermined amount of adult Japanese beetles in a 60 to 40 female to male ratio and placed them in each cylinder, covered the cylinder with a net, and sealed it with a lid. Now, this top picture you see, the female and male adult Japanese beetles were provided with food and were surviving at least 2 weeks in each cylinder. This means that they had time to mate and the females could oviposition in the soil underneath the cylinders. When the eggs hatched, the larvae would burrow through the soil, and this is the ideal life stage of the life cycle that the nematodes could attack these pests. I applied nematodes in October at a rate of 1 billion per acre, and then 3 weeks after application, the soil underneath each cylinder was dug up and examined for total amount of white grubs found in each plot. And this bottom right picture you see on the left is that red grub is a nematode-infected white grub versus the normal healthy one. As part of this field study, as you can probably tell, there were no significant statistical differences between the treatments. However, you will notice that the plots that received nitrogen wetting agents or a combination of both tended to be lower than the untreated control. They had lower number of grubs per plot. For measuring persistence, every 2 weeks following the nematode application in October, three soil cores have been taken randomly from each plot. I brought the soil back to the lab, broke it up, and stuck it in gallon Ziploc bags. I then removed a small amount of the soil to calculate percent moisture, and the remaining soil was used to baited using waxworms, and that is the Galeria melanella. As you can see on this top picture, that is an example of the soil taken from one plot. This happens to be the wetting agent alone plot. And in this bottom picture, you will see the waxworms on the left and up at the top here are normal, healthy waxworms, and this is a nematode-infected one. The preliminary results from this study have not shown any significant differences yet. However, I don't believe this will be the case for long. As you will notice in this percent soil moisture graph, the plots that received nitrogen alone tended to have a lower percent soil moisture than those that received wetting agent or the untreated. As far as infection goes with the waxworms in the lab, you will also notice that both plots that received nitrogen tended to be slightly higher than the plots that did not, which means they had a higher infection rate, which I think could be quite interesting later on. So for the future, as I've said, the short-term study proved no significant effects. However, over the long term, I think this could change. The plots, as I mentioned earlier, that will be treated next season, I'm going to refrain from applying nematodes to half of the plots to see the treatment's effect on the grub population alone, and then compare it to those that did receive nematodes. The nematode application, I am also planning to apply them earlier next year, at a time that will coincide with adult Japanese peak flight time. This allows me to monitor persistence over a longer period of time before the ground gets too hard and I'm not able to take soil samples anymore. The few people I'd like to thank, my advisors, my committee members, and my lab mates. Thank you very much for your attention. Are there any questions? Yes.
I'm kind of curious, how deep did your 8-inch pipes go down, and how did you prevent the nematodes from going out? Did you only treat inside the pipes, or?
Okay. The question is, how deep were the cylinders placed in the ground, and how did I prevent the nematodes from moving throughout the soil other than just underneath the cylinders? The plots are actually 5x5 plots, and I placed the cylinders in the middle, but the nematodes were actually applied to the entire plot. So even if they moved, they should still be in the soil all around the cylinders and inside. Yes?
I noticed that your variation was sort of like...
Yes.
Do you have an explanation for that?
Yes, the question was, the variation, as you notice in the graphs, in certain treatments was really significant. It was very large. The reason I think for that is that since the nematodes were only applied in October, I've only been able to take two soil core samples from the plots so far, and I believe that as I take more soil cores over time, and I have more data to use, those will hopefully narrow. Any more? Okay, thank you.